This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on significant recommendations of the 54th GST Council. The participants are Puneet Jain, Economic Analyst, and Lalima Aneja Dang, Anchor.
The 54th Council of GST meeting was held on Monday and made a few significant decisions. Well, some decisions were made and some were left to be debated before they get to be finalized. To discuss all that and more, we are now joined by Senior Journalist Mr. Puneet Jain. Welcome, Puneet ji, to Akashvani Studios.
Thank you, Lalima.
Well, one major issue has been of continuation of GST cess from 2026, and it was decided to set up a ministerial panel to decide that. States are not keen on ending cess levied on automobiles, soft drinks, tobacco products, pan masala, coal, aircraft, as the law does not allow for levy of compensation of cess beyond March 2026. Your take, Puneet ji.
So, Lalima, we really have to go into the genesis of why this cess was imposed in the first place.
Ji.
Because when GST was introduced, states had this apprehension that they will fall short of revenues. They felt that the revenues that they were earning through local sales tax, the state sales taxes, they will lose those taxes, and the revenue share they will get through GST will fall short of the existing revenues. So to make up for that shortfall, as a temporary measure, government had decided to levy this cess. For that short term, whatever cess was levied on GST, that cess was given to states as a compensation to the shortfall of the GST. States are already earning much more than what they were getting in 2017. So that whole logic of imposing cess, I think, has gone away. However, that temporary measure was then extended up to 2026, only to give further relief to states. This whole issue about why this cess should continue, because the very reason why it was imposed in the first place does not exist anymore. So we have seen some new taxes being imposed. For example, on online gaming, GST was imposed, and revenue collection has been phenomenal through online gaming and casinos. I mean, almost 10,000 crores worth of GST was collected. So areas which were not taxed earlier or which have been taxed to some extent, to a lesser extent, I think they can be brought into the ambit. There can be other areas like petroleum products which can be brought into the ambit. So there are areas of rationalization of GST. But I think cess as a logic should not exist in the new GST system.
Yes, because the ultimate aim for the government is to have enough money in their hands to be able to fund the social welfare schemes and also for the development of the country. So many developmental projects are happening. The basic idea is to have money, whichever way.
See, by definition, cess is a temporary measure. It is not part of the tax system.
Right.
It is only imposed temporarily to serve only a specific purpose. Now, that specific purpose has been served for the states. Their revenue collections are already way beyond what they were in 2017 when GST was introduced.
Right.
So that whole reason why it came into existence is no longer there. So if states want to collect more taxes, they want more revenue, they can definitely raise taxes or they can, you know, bring more items into GST network, which is different. But I think cess as a system should not exist.
The GST on online gaming, which was 28%, and casinos a little more than that, that has resulted in a lot of taxes. A tax bonanza, if I may call it. It fetched the government 6,909 crores during the first 6 months. So the review on this has been stalled for now because it's good money for the government.
And there is a logic behind it also. I think the very fact that when this tax was imposed in the first place, there was a lot of hue and cry. People were protesting that this is a skill of game or skill of chance, game of chance, etc. So there were all kinds of arguments which were advanced to say that this, it should not be brought under 28% GST. It could be brought under lower slabs of GST, etc. But I think that debate has been very well settled by now. And industry is flourishing with 28% taxes. Even then, they have done very well. If you can collect 6,000 crores in 6 months, that means that through the year, we will probably collect more than 10,000-12,000 crore. And from people who are willing to go to casinos, are going to willing to spend, to some extent, gamble their money on it, I think it's fair enough. So I think no longer is there a case that this tax should not be there. Only question has been whether this tax should be more or less. That is something which I think has been referred for a review. But to my mind, I think this is a fair tax and nobody's complaining as far as I know.
And also because online gaming means the content creators are also involved.
So it's a whole ecosystem of digital entertainment, you can say. But of course, so there are many ways of creating this content. Digital gaming or on casinos, particularly which have been targeted for this tax, mm-hmm. are game of chance, so to say.
Yes.
You can call it gambling. Yes. I don't like using that word, but the truth is in everyday language, you can say it's gambling
yes.
to some extent.
Yes.
And you remember we used to have lotteries and the income tax on lottery winnings is almost 45%. So it's not 30%, which is the normal tax rate. Income tax on lottery winnings is much higher.
Oh.
So clearly, I think when it comes to this so-called gambling, mm-hmm. government has been imposing higher taxes and to some extent, people have accepted it.
Let's move on. Tax exemptions for research funding for higher educational institutions and research centers established under state or central law. That has also been in place now. No GST, irrespective of whether funding is from private or public source. I remember when I heard the budget, there was a lot of emphasis on innovation because innovation, and we have been accused, India has been accused of spending very little on research and development vis-a-vis the developed nations. So now when we are talking of this kind of tax structure and encouraging R&D minus the GST, we are actually focusing on Atmanirbhar Bharat and Vikasit Bharat seriously, right?
So absolutely. I think, Lalima, the point is that government is taking very considerate steps to focus on knowledge-based economy and promoting Make in India. Now, all these efforts really need a lot of spending on research and development. Mm-hmm. It needs promotion of R&D efforts within India. We know that Indian universities, while we have one of the brightest crop of students in the world,
yes.
the truth is that in R&D, we have been lagging to some extent. And a lot of our bright minds, they go abroad, they go to foreign universities
right.
to pursue research careers. So I think to that extent, if we remove the hurdles to free research and development and reduce the cost of R&D. See, taxes like GST will increase the cost of research and development being done in universities and then being supplied to industry. See, the idea is not only to create some R&D pool within universities or academic institutions. We want to sell that know-how to industry.
As patents.
As patents. And as, and only then it really becomes a partnership.
Correct.
So to do that, there should be no tax hurdles. Mm. And I think this step is really welcome in that direction.
Yes, because our spend on R&D is very, very minimal compared to the other countries. Israel spends a lot, probably the maximum in the world, probably. So we have to create an ecosystem where...
And encourage it. It's not something that we can do overnight, but I'm sure this is messaging. No, basically the finance minister is sending a message to the world saying that look, we encourage R&D within India and we encourage this integration of industry with academic institutions to promote R&D.
And it's very important because the private industry has always shied away from funding for R&D. This kind of a step may kind of push them to come into funding for the R&D projects.
Yes, and of course we have seen some step up in research in India, mm-hmm. Research spending particularly, but we have to lower this cost.
Yes.
If the cost is so high and we have this GST being imposed and tax notices being issued, it creates a lot of hurdle in the path of free development. So I think to that extent, this is more of a message right now. And going forward, of course, it will create an ecosystem for us.
And the good side is, if I may add, that we've had unprecedented number of patents in the last few years compared to the previous years, so which is also a good sign. As we said, we are moving towards creating that ecosystem of knowledge-based society. Puneetji, now GST will be exempted for foreign airlines. And that's a relief for the aviation sector. Show cause notices were sent to 10 foreign airlines for non-payment of taxes of around 10,000 crores. I don't think that's linked. What is your view on this?
So, Lalima, you would recall that until very recently, even today, a lot of airlines, they send their aircraft abroad for maintenance. So we did not have the maintenance services, mm-hmm. Very substantial maintenance services in India. We had some basic services, but in case of large aircraft, Indian Airlines had to send aircraft abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Last few years, 5-7 years, we want India to become a kind of a hub for maintenance and upkeep of aircraft in India. So that is the direction government has been taking in policy also, promoting the service. Unfortunately, what happened was that when aircraft came to India and there were import of some foreign services to these companies. So we were importing services from foreign companies for servicing aircraft in India.
Mm-hmm.
A tax was levied on them. Now, that is, this tax has been removed. Let's say a servicing MRO company in India
mm-hmm.
can now import services from abroad without any tax levied on it, which will make aircraft servicing in India cheaper. And India can then develop as a hub. These are called MRO services.
Uh-huh.
So for aircraft, I think we are moving in that direction. And again, see, all these steps have been taken with a long-term view in mind.
That's
it's
right.
Not as if that they have removed it just one arbitrarily. Off, arbitrarily about one of item. Uh-huh. Because they are looking to create India as a hub for aircraft servicing. Uh-huh. And therefore, this step has been taken to encourage that services can be imported from abroad without levying such taxes.
And it's good to be self-reliant, because once you get the product from outside, then it's good to be self-reliant as far as maintenance is concerned, rather than being dependent. And then the blackmailing happens on a global level.
No, and so much money was being spent. And again, see, we have the skills, we have the capability, we have the market to develop the services. And we were sending this aircraft to Singapore, we were sending it to Dubai for servicing, which has such large centers. And not only Indian airlines, foreign airlines also would like to get their services supplied in India, if the price is right.
And as I said, in the geopolitical scenario, if you're self-reliant, then you don't have to be subservient to the other foreign agencies.
It was a big thing. It was a really big deal. Mm. All aircraft had to be, you know, towed offshore and then for servicing and then you know, brought back. So I think that's a good welcome thing.
And Puneetji, GST has been reduced on some cancer drugs and travel by chopper on a seat share basis to 5%. I think that will affect all the pilgrims which are traveling to Vaishno Devi and Kedarnath, Badrinath. What do you say?
No, clearly, I would say to some extent populism, which is good, because you need to do that. And this is not tourism in that sense. I mean, and we want to promote tourism. But the issue, I think, is first, of course, what you mentioned was the reduction of taxes on cancer drugs, because these are life-saving drugs.
Yes.
And a lot of new drugs keep on getting introduced. So usually what happens is that you do some specific exemptions. And by the time you come to the next meeting, there are already some other drugs which are not covered. Hmm. So the GST Council took a very wide step saying that, okay, this category of drugs, particularly life-saving drugs, cancer drugs, which are very expensive, you will know.
And it's cancer spreading also very fast. And this may positively affect a large number of people.
Yeah, and a lot of people, in fact, cancer drugs are so expensive that large numbers of patients may not be able to access them because of cost. So to that extent, I think it is extremely, it was needed that those costs are cut. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to keep enough toes for so-called refitting the tax slabs for all such essential drugs, services, products. Having said that, the second point that you raise about pilgrims and chopper services, I think it will be welcomed by tourism companies and tourists. Hopefully promote tourism to
spiritual tourism
to Vaishno Devi and Kedarnath.
Yes, that's right. Namkeen, let's talk about that lovely Indian snack which we call namkeen. Everyone loves it in the country and outside the country. Now, the tax has been lowered from 18 to 12%. How much difference would that make?
Oh, it will make a big difference. So you would have heard that, I mean, leading top snack makers now are have sales in thousands of crores. And it touches almost every Indian's lives. I mean, we love snacking. We love to eat in the evenings after dinner and after lunch. So
Without chai. All right. What about a rejig of GST rates on health and insurance, Puneet?
So, Lalima, that is a very major step. In fact, what happened was that some time back, this GST was imposed on insurance premium, particularly the single-term insurance, life insurance. I think these are essential services. They're not luxury items again. We are trying to promote health insurance for practically everybody in the society.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Life insurance is also highly recommended and now with the growing middle class, with people's ability to secure their families.
Yes.
I would really put them in the category of essential services.
Uh-huh.
So there has been this talk about removing or reducing these tax slabs.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, the GST Council hasn't taken a firm decision as of now, but they've set up an expert committee. And I think by November, when the next meeting comes, we will definitely see a cut in the taxes.
Last but not the least point, another major development is the proposed extension of e-invoicing to the business-to-consumer B2C segment with the introduction of mechanisms like an invoice management system. A brief comment on that?
When we started the GST journey, it was quite complicated. The invoicing system, collection of taxes, and there were a lot of leakage. All these complications were happening. The industry was harassed, government was harassed, and the input tax credit, it was quite difficult to match all those credits in the system because it's largely information-based. So we have been taking steps to simplify GST.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the last mile is B2C. So B2B was sorted, where e-invoicing was made mandatory. But B2C, which is the last mile in the value chain, I think now with that getting computerized and automated, that would really help in collection of taxes. So evasion of taxes will become very difficult. Now they will not be able to evade taxes, so which is good for GST collection, for honest taxpayers.
Yes.
We need to get it going.
Yes.
But it will take some time, but I'm sure it is something which will be welcomed.
Thank you, Puneetji, for joining us for the discussion and all your updates, views and reviews regarding the recent GST meeting.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on significant recommendations of the 54th GST Council. The participants were Puneet Jain, economic analyst, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on your mobile app, News on Air.